Welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your teacher and host, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you've joined me today. We are celebrating this weekend, and particularly on Monday, July the 4th, the 246th birthday of the United States of America, celebrating the time when America became a sovereign nation, no longer a colony under Great Britain. And I have a little book that I've written called Five Pillars of the American Republic. So in memory and celebration of our independence, I want to share this with you. Now, those of you who are listening in other countries, I know we have people in Canada and Ireland and even over in different parts of Europe and India. And I don't know, I've noticed people in different places. These are principles are ubiquitous, transcendent, and eternal. They are applicable anywhere, anytime, any place. They are biblical principles. And so the five pillars, I will mention them, and then I'm going to go into number two. We did number one yesterday, pillar number one, which was belief in God as the moral governor of the universe. And pillar number two is respect for the Bible as a source of truth. Pillar number three is an understanding of sinful humanity. Pillar number four, Christian values essential for a stable and peaceful society. And pillar number five, government exists to protect faith and freedom. The purpose of civil government, to protect faith and freedom. Today we're going to look at pillar number two. As I said yesterday, we looked at pillar number one, which was belief in God as the creator and moral governor of the universe. Now, these are the pillars on which America's founders founded this nation. And so it is very important that we remember from which we have come, because as the historian Carl Sandburg said, when a nation perishes, or a society goes down, one condition may always be found. They forgot where they came from. We must never forget where we, as a nation, where we come from. So pillar number two is respect for the Bible as the source of ultimate truth. When George Washington placed his hand on a Bible to take the oath of office, now this was the very first time this had ever been done, because this is the first, he's the first president. So he's not, his action of insisting that he take the oath, the presidential oath of office with his hand on a Bible, there is no precedent for that. He is beginning a precedent. And it is an expression of his faith in God and in God's word. It's his way of saying, here is the is what is going to be the moral guide, the ethical guide for my administration. So it was a declaration that the Bible would be the ultimate source of wisdom and guidance for his administration. Now, there's all kinds of evidence of Washington's faith, a person of prayer, and of his respect for the Bible. For example, while he was president, his nephew, Robert Lewis, served as his secretary and lived with him. Lewis said that he had accidentally witnessed Washington's private devotions in his library, both morning and evening, and that on those occasions he had seen Washington kneeling in a kneeling posture with a Bible open before him, and that he believed such to have been his daily practice. Praying with a Bible on his knees with an open Bible before him. You know, several years ago, there was a 10-year project that was instituted by two university professors. And this 10-year project was an in-depth study, research study, to discover where the founders, America's founders, got their ideas for America's founding documents. And the results of this study was that they found that by far the single most cited authority in their writings was the Bible. Now remember, pillar number two on which America was founded was respect for the Bible as the source of ultimate truth. So they were people of the book, America's founders, Washington, Madison, Franklin, Lincoln. They were people. Lincoln was not a founder. I'm sorry about that. Lincoln is one of America's most important presidents. I would put him right up there with Washington as the two most important presidents. But he was not one of the founders. He played a very important role, but he came later. But the founders such as Madison, Jefferson, Washington, Franklin, all of these people were people of the book. From the beginning, the Bible had been incorporated into all the learning of the schools in colonial America. For example, the New England Primer coupled Bible verses and church doctrine with the learning of the ABCs in America's earliest schools. The letter A, for example, was associated with Adam and the statement, "In Adam's fall, we sin all." First graders in early America learned to read with their primer in one hand and their Bible in the other. Knowing how the founders esteemed and reverenced the Bible, it comes as no surprise that the First Continental Congress was opened with Bible reading and prayer. It is also no surprise that when Benjamin Franklin called the Constitutional Convention to prayer, he quoted from both the Psalms and the Gospels. While he was at the College of New Jersey, now Princeton University, James Madison, who was the chief architect of the U.S. Constitution and also the country's fourth president, he translated the Bible from Hebrew and Greek into English. Dr. James Kennedy and Jerry Newcomb were right when they said Madison's worldview was one shaped by the Bible more than any other source. The founders' respect for the Bible was also highlighted when the first English Bible printed in America in 1782 included a recommendation from Congress. The producer of the Bible, Robert Aitken, had written a letter to Congress in which he asked for that government body's sanction on his work. In the letter, Aitken called this Bible a neat edition of the scriptures for the use in schools. The U.S. Congress enthusiastically responded to his request and offered the following recommendation to be included in this first English Bible printed in America. And here's what this first English Bible printed in America had in the front of it. This message from the U.S. Congress. Resolved that the United States in Congress assembled highly approve the pious and laudable undertaking of Mr. Aitken as subservient to the interest of religion as well as an instance of the progress of the arts in this country, and being satisfied from the above report of his care and accuracy in the execution of the work, they recommend this edition of the Bible to the inhabitants of the United States and hereby authorize him to publish this recommendation in the manner he shall think proper. Can you imagine today how secularists are trying to tell us that the founders were secularists who wanted to secularize this nation and to keep the church out of government and so on? And here in the not too long, just a few years after America became a nation, here is the U.S. Congress recommending a Bible to all the inhabitants of the country. You know, the founders lived at a time when the European Enlightenment and its emphasis on reason was drawing many on the European continent away from the Bible. America's founders, however, saw no dichotomy between the Bible and reason. The well-known Catholic scholar William Novak says, I love this quote, he said, "Everywhere that reason led, Americans found the Bible. If they read Francis Bacon, they found the Bible. If they read Isaac Newton or John Milton, they found the Bible. In Shakespeare, they found the Bible. In the world of the founders, the Bible was an unavoidable and useful rod of measurement, a stimulus to intellectual innovation." The primary role of the Bible in America's founding was acknowledged by Andrew Jackson, who was America's seventh president. And one day, sitting and talking, he motioned toward a Bible and he said, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Can you imagine? "That book, sir," he says to somebody, and motioning towards the Bible, "That book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests." Theodore Roosevelt, the 26th president, said something similar. He said, "No other book of any kind ever written in English has ever so affected the whole life of a people." There is no question that the Bible played a primary role in the founding of America. And I will close with this incredible quote from a statement in a secular news magazine, Newsweek, written in 1982. And the article was called "How the Bible Made America." And here's what these writers said, based on their research and discoveries. They said, "For centuries, the Bible has exerted an unrivaled influence on American culture, politics, and social life. Now, historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document, the source of the powerful myth of the United States as a special sacred nation, a people called by God to establish a model of society, a beacon to the world." So they're saying that it could be that the Bible, more than the Constitution, is America's founding document. Indeed, trust in the Bible, respect for the Bible as a source of ultimate truth is the second pillar of the American Republic. If you don't like to read more about this, go on Amazon, get my little book, Five Pillars of the American Republic. There are other books I've written also, especially 1726, the year that defined America, which is about over 180 pages. This little book is only 35 pages, Five Pillars of the American Republic. Both of them will bless you greatly. And this is Eddie Hyatt. Hey, check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. There's a bookstore there, links to great resources. You can check out my books on Amazon, and I look forward to seeing you next time.